Well, I want to talk to you today about walking in freedom with the Father. Walking in freedom with the Father. You know, over the last 2 weeks, we've had guest speakers, and I think they have brought tremendous words to us. Two Sundays ago, Pastor Franklin ministered a word from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. That verse talks about how the people of God he has redeemed. Isn't it good to know he has redeemed us? He paid our price. He died our death. You and I are among the redeemed people of the Lord God Almighty amongst the peoples of the earth. And my heart was touched and blessed in both services. As people filled the altar area, and even in the second service, some down the middle aisle, of people wanting freedom in their redemption. Recognizing, yeah, the Lord has redeemed them, but there might be an area or two or a situation in their lives that's binding, you feel in bondage. And I believe that two Sundays ago, there was a lot of people that tasted the freedom of God and have been set free from this or that and the third or whatever. And then last Sunday, Sam Farina was with us, and I thought he brought a great word to us in talking about our relationship, the personal relationship that we can have with the Heavenly Father. A lot of times we stop at Jesus, and of course, Jesus is the one who was crucified on the cross. He purchased our salvation, he purchased our redemption, he purchased our freedom, but a lot of that idea was not only to wash our sins away, but to bring us in a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. Because as Sam said, it was the Father who sent him. And what did he say to us? Everything you've seen me do, you've heard me say, he taught one time. It's because this is what the Father told me to do. This is what the Father told me to say. He even said at one point, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've heard that verse. And I thought it was a great day where he talked about recognizing your true identity as someone who is a child of the Father. Jesus is our elder brother. The Heavenly Father is our Father, isn't he? So 2 weeks with a wonderful word each week from different servants of the Lord from different parts of the world. Okay. So now you have found new freedom. Maybe for the first time, even in your Christian life, for the first time in a long time, out of the last 2 weeks, you have found a new freedom or a new level of freedom in your redemption. Now what? Who remembers this scene from Finding Nemo? Anybody ever see that movie? If you haven't, you're going to be running out to watch it later today or sometime this week. You know, I love the scene. If you've seen the movie, you know that these fish here in the bag over many, many years, see, they were in a fish tank in a dentist office in Sydney, Australia. And these fish have plotted over and over and over. They plotted, they schemed, they planned, they tried their escape many, many times over many, many years. And every one of them failed. Well, you might recall it was in this tank that Nemo ended up, didn't he? So they tried yet another time or two and it didn't work. And finally, the day came when they were able to just turn the tank into chaos and it had to be cleaned. And they were taken out and put in these bags. And yet another attempt at a great escape was attempted. And oh my goodness, it was a harrowing scene. Was it the daughter, Dennis, granddaughter or somebody was in there and things are getting destroyed. Things are flying everywhere. It was a dangerous scene. Sharp dentist instruments flying all over the place. And then they finally get over to the counter and they get to the window and they get out the window and then the pelican attack comes. How many knows pelicans like fish? Right? The devil roams the earth seeking whom he may devour. Pelicans fly around looking for fish to devour, right? So that was another moment of danger in this fish. Even though they were out of the tank now, they still were not free, were they? And they finally, they survived the pelican attack, and now they come to traffic going both ways, cars going this way, cars going that way. They're in these bags, they're trying to swim, cars everywhere. Whew, they made it across the traffic. And then they keep going, and finally they plop into the ocean. And that's this scene that you see on the screen before you with this question. It was the puffer fish that you see on your left. Who remembers? So here they are, and finally they found success after all of the failed attempts to be delivered and find their freedom. And here they are, they have found their freedom, and they're looking out at the vastness of the ocean before them. And this question comes from the fish on the left, the puffer fish. Now what? Right? Have you ever been there? Now what? We're delivered. We're free. Woohoo! Now what? Right? Have you ever been there? A situation or a circumstance in your life. You know, years ago when I was the director of education and discipleship at Teen Challenge up in the city of Boston, in Massachusetts, we discovered something over time that a guy would come in the program. For those of you that may not know, Teen Challenge is a program for those that men that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and other life-controlling substances. And they would come into the program. It was a 15-month residential program, and they would be delivered. God would set them free. And they would successfully go through the phases of the program, and then the big day of graduation came. It was a successful attempt. Yeah, if they had a job, they had to leave it. If they were married, they had to leave their wives and or children, because it was a residential program. You had to cut everything off if you're really serious about getting free, finding deliverance from drugs, alcohol, and other life-controlling substances. But we noticed with a lot of the guys that would come in and go through the program, it was all great while they were in the program, and then they would graduate and they'd move on, and then the next thing you know, sometimes within months, even weeks on some occasions, maybe some of you know the term, they'd fall off the wagon, start using drugs again, going back to the alcohol bottle. And all of that 15 months and that newfound deliverance and freedom would just tank. That relationship they had with the Lord, what happened to it? It was so vibrant just a few months ago. So we developed a re-entry program, and we discovered that wasn't all that it was designed to be. So we reversed the concept of re-entry and developed an end phase at the program saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're not just going to turn you loose. So at the end of the program, you still got to be in chapel every day and go to church. But now on weekends, a weekend a month, and then maybe every other weekend, you can go home to be with family, be with your wife, see your children, your parents, whoever you're living with. But we want to know who you were with, what you did. It all had to be documented. We wanted to know, where did you go to church? What did the pastor or the guest speaker preach on that day? What were we doing? We were creating a successful reentry program back into society, because it could be just too much if it was all at once. And then we would give them some responsibilities to help the staff, but for them to take on responsibilities. Okay, there's a group of guys that need to go shopping or need to do this, or you can run a fundraising team, but then they could come back to the home base. And then over time, they would have more and more freedoms, more and more liberties. And then it wasn't like a culture shock going back home to their family. We would allow them to work a part-time job. So now they get back into the workforce. It wasn't a total culture shock. So maybe at some point recently, or even in the last couple of weeks, like we've mentioned with all of those that prayed for freedom a couple of weeks ago, and then last Sunday, being brought into right relationship with your Heavenly Father, and many were prayed for healing. So you've embraced a closer relationship with God as your Heavenly Father. Now what? Maybe you've given your life to Jesus recently and decided to follow Him. Okay, that's wonderful. Now what? Now you know God is caring and not cruel, as we heard a lot last Sunday. What should that mean to you? You have freedom maybe you've never known before, or you haven't known in a long time. So what does that mean you should do? And you think, well, I should do this. And then someone comes along, and at this point, probably someone in the church or another person in your family or friend that claims to be a Christian of some kind. That means many different things today. But no, they say, no, you shouldn't do this. Now, do that instead in your newfound faith or freedom. And then yet someone else says to you, no, you should do something totally different than what you think or what the other person said you should be doing. And now, as you try to find your way in your new freedom and your relationship with God as your Heavenly Father, it can be as confusing as some of these road signs I want to show you today. Look at this one. Some of them, you'll have to study them for a few seconds before it sinks in. Okay, no left turn, but the green arrow says go left, right? Left. Now, I found this sign interesting, sign not in use. Now, this might be something you would see on a digital sign, but not a metal sign, right? Sign not in use. A little confusing, isn't it? What does that mean? Here you go. How would you like to live on the road that you had to pass this sign every day? Hopefully, you're not crashing into things, namely through the fence there, right? Here, this is an interesting sign. So you're driving down the road. Now, I've got an imagination. Maybe you're from some place. You understand what this means. Does anybody have a clue what a pig and sheep empty is? Because I don't. Will you please come and help me after the service? Of course, if I was driving down and saw this sign, anybody like me, you'd be curious. You'd want to turn it, what in the world, just to find out what a pig empty is or a sheep empty is, right? All right, how about this one? There should at least be a disclaimer at the bottom that maybe says, well, one way at a time, right? One way, one way. Very interesting, very confusing. Here, how about this sign? Narrow bridge. That kind of leaves you feeling like if you cross this bridge, you're going to end up in Jurassic Park, right? So it looks a little like a dinosaur there. Very, very interesting. How about this one? I found this. I put it up there because I have absolutely no clue what this is. So same thing. If you have an idea of what you're yielding to, looks like a 4th of July fireworks that you set off, right? So look out for fireworks. Or rockets of some kind. I'm not sure. Very confusing. Does anybody here know what this sign is for? So you're just as confused as I am, right? All right, next one. You ever come up to an intersection like this and all the... How in the world can one or two roads have this many names and numbers, and how can you go north and south at the exact same time, right? So this is a little confusing. I see east goes to the right. It goes straight. A little confusing, isn't it? I'm glad. Anybody here from Tennessee? Sorry if you're from Tennessee today, because we see on one sign, that's number 96 there, is the that you're in Tennessee if you're at this intersection. How about this one? I can tell by your response how long it takes to sink in. For some of you, right lane must right left. So I'm going to incorporate or try to get your help again. If you can explain this to me after the service, I'll be all ears, okay? How about this one? This is my favorite one. So here you are, you're on this road, you're coming up, and you end at this intersection, at this sign. I hope you have a big bottle of water and at least lunch, because if I read this right, you're stuck right here for the rest of your life, right? You can't go forward, you can't go back, you can't go to the left, you can't go to the right, and it says stop, you're done, all right? So, and if it's winter time, I hope you have a full tank of gas to keep you warm in the days ahead. You are stuck. All right. Here's what I know. If your faith journey looks like the road signs and all these confusing pieces of information is coming into your life, your faith journey is going to look like the road signs, and you're going to be left feeling like this. Lost, confused, unsure, unclear, perplexed, disoriented, and bewildered. These become the signs of your faith if you're not careful. And then what happens? You will only end up more distraught than when you started. And when that happens, you know what ends up happening then? You eventually are going to revert back to your default settings before you were delivered, before you understood your redemption, before you were set free, and before you had a relationship with God the Father through your Son. And if you end up with your default settings, going back to your default settings, now you lose both your freedom and your close relationship with the Lord. But see, the freedom the Father offers is made possible through a covenant. And God's covenant provides clear direction. God's covenant provides wisdom, which helps you with clear direction. So let me ask you today, what is the premier book of wisdom in God's covenant? Help me. Oh, don't be bashful. In God's covenant book, which book is the premier book of wisdom? Proverbs, yes. I'm like, wow, man, the first service blew you away. I heard Proverbs from everywhere. You are afraid to answer. Yes, Proverbs is known as the book of wisdom, isn't it? If you were to sign a premier book of wisdom in Scripture, that would be it. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. What's it say here? Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, I've got the NIV copy of Scripture here. And in my Bible, it's very interesting. The heading for chapter 4 says this. Here, it's right here. I'll let you read it. Can you see that from the back row? The heading in Proverbs chapter 4, it says this, get wisdom at any cost. A lot of things maybe that chapter could be headed, given the heading to, but what we see here is get wisdom at any cost. No matter what you do, make sure you get some wisdom. All right? No matter what course you're on, make sure you have God's wisdom. See, a lot of people sacrifice a lot, and they go after a lot of things at any cost, but here we see get wisdom at any cost. And at the end of the chapter with that heading, get wisdom at any cost, we just read it. Let your eyes look straight ahead. You know what that tells me? That it's wise to not allow this to distract you to look this way. Let another teaching to distract you. Well, look this, consider this. Let another thought or another philosophy of man. You ever watch a horse race? They put these blinders on horses like this. All right? Why? Because they don't want the horse to be distracted by what's on its left, what's on its right, because the prize is straight ahead. The goal is straight ahead. And let's not get distracted, because that distraction could cause fear. All right? Or this distraction here could spook the horse, and now instead of running toward the finish line, they're going to want to jump the fence. Or maybe if the horse sees what's on this side or this side, they're just going to stop. Right? See, it's wisdom in God's covenant book on wisdom. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Now, we have this description from Scripture. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is straight and it's narrow. So God says, do that. Look straight ahead. And if you're looking straight ahead, it doesn't matter how narrow it is. All right? You could be like a gymnast. You could do a backflip on a 4-inch beam, just like a 4-foot floor, right? Because you're keeping your eyes straight ahead, like it says here. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. What's directly before you in your life? See, Joshua, what's he say? Meditate on God's word day and night. What are you doing? You're fixing your gaze on God. You're fixing the gaze of your life. You're fixing the gaze of your faith. You're fixing the gaze of your hope. You're fixing the gaze of who you trust in one place on God. Amen. Fix your gaze there. Instead of going through life, even in your faith journey, here you are, man. You start out good, and it's like, ooh, look at that. Well, that looks fun. Well, okay, you move on. Ooh, look at that. That's very, that looks very, maybe the Lord wouldn't mind if I did that just once. Ooh, look at that. Nobody has to know. Ooh, no. Straight ahead you look. You fix your gaze on what's before you. And then I love verse 26. What does it say? Give careful thought to the paths of your feet. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet. Oftentimes I'll ask my children, do you have a brain? Thankfully, the answer so far every time has been yes. All right. Yes, Dad, I have a brain. And I'll say, God gave you that brain. Use it. Use it. Well, in your faith journey, if you're delivered, if you're free, you're in a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Hey, can I ask you a question today? Do you have a brain? Use it. All right, in your faith too, the book of wisdom says, give careful thought. You can't give careful thought to something if you're not using your brain. Okay, that looks enticing. Well, first of all, what are you doing looking at it? Why are you not fixed on what's ahead of you in your faith, your hope, your trust in the Lord? But if you get distracted, you better be giving careful thought. Where can that lead me? Ooh, here's a big one. Well, I know it's destroyed every other life that's gone down that path. Here's the big lie of the devil. He makes us all think we're the exception. No, you're not. All right, if you think you're the exception, okay, keep going that way. Talk to me in 5 years. I'm going to ask you a question like this. How did that work out for you? And then you're going to say what my kids said. Not good. Right? Not good. No. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet. Well, when you sit down at that computer, are you giving careful thought to what you're viewing? When you get alone with someone, why are you alone with someone, especially if the opposite sex, especially if you're married? Are you giving careful thought to that situation? Do you give careful thought to why you don't come to church when you don't feel like coming to church? Do you give careful thought to the decisions that you make? Do you give careful thought to what you watch on television? Do you give careful thought to your entertainment? Do you give careful thought to what children around you are watching because you're modeling for them? Give careful thought to the paths of your feet. And then he adds this, be steadfast in all your ways. Well, I think I read somewhere on James, double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, like a wind of the sea tossed by every wind. You know what that says? You're tossed by every temptation. You're just tossed around by every weakness of your flesh. You're tossed by this. You're tossed. There's no steadfastness in your life. You had freedom. You lost it. You had a close relationship with the Father. It's gone because you're not steadfast. Maybe because you don't fix your gaze. But wisdom says, give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. And here it is, verse 27. Do not turn to the right. Don't do that. It says it right here. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. Keep your foot from evil. What's that say? If the Word of God says there's places that you can go that can be destructive to you. But God's Word says you can keep your place. Okay, just walk the other way. Walk another direction. How about the direction that God's covenant book says, walk in this way. Walk in this way. So here we go. God says, do this. You'll be okay. Now, where does this concept of wisdom come from? Well, the answer to the question is it comes from the law. Oh, we don't like the law today, do we? But the concept of wisdom comes from the law. Well, what is the law? The law, it's God's word. It's God's covenant. We call them testaments, Old Testament, New Testament. Testament means agreement. Testament means covenant. So the concept of wisdom comes from the law. What is law? It's God's covenant, which produces God's power and God's promises. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33. Okay, maybe if you have a little discipleship under your belt, you know that the first five books of the Bible are called the books of the law or the books of Moses. What's God doing? He's giving the law for his covenant people. Another name for those five books is called the Pentateuch. Penta meaning five. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The books of the law. So here we are in the last book of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33. Now understand the context here. The first time we see the Ten Commandments or the law recorded is in Exodus. I believe it's Exodus chapter 20. Well, Moses writes them down again in chapter 5. That's what Deuteronomy chapter 5 is. It's the Ten Commandments. And then there's some instructions around this. And then these instructions follow right after the Ten Commandments at the end of chapter 5, verse 32 and 33. What does God say here? So be careful. Oh, there it is again. So we just read it from Proverbs. Give careful thought. Here it is again. Be careful. Listen, we've got too many Christians, too many people that claim to be Christ followers that try to live their Christian faith the same way they lived their lives before they came to Christ, and they're just blundering around and wandering around aimlessly. That's why the Word says, give careful thought. That's why it says here, be careful. You can't just blunder around when you're careful. Okay? When it's night, you wake up in the middle of the night, you don't want to turn the light on, what do? See, in the daytime, you just kind of walk through like this, right? But at night, you're like, you're being careful. See, God says, hey, be careful where you're going. To do what the Lord your God has commanded you. And then here it is again in verse 32, Deuteronomy 5. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Don't do that. All right, verse 33, walk. Okay, that means you need to be making progress, right? You're not stagnating. Walk in obedience. Walk in obedience to what? Well, it says right here, to all the Lord your God has commanded you. And then he tells us why. So that you may live and prosper and prolong your days. How many here would like to prosper in your life? We all would. I would think anybody in their right mind wants to prosper, right? Even live a prosperous long life. God says, here's how you do it. You obey all my commands. Here's my commands. I'm setting them before you. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Walk in the way of the commands. If you do that, the deliverance that you've gained, you'll be able to keep it. All right? The freedom that you have, you'll be able to sustain it. All right. Listen. If you want genuine freedom in your life and in your Christianity, like many prayed for two Sundays ago, if you want genuine freedom, if you want to be close to your Heavenly Father and enjoy the protection and the provision that comes with that, you need to know this. There is a specified way for God's people to walk in. God's people are to walk in God's way through God's word. If you want the protection and the provision of what he provides, you've got to walk in the way that invites these things into your life. Now, the idea of not turning to the left or turning to the right, the idea of obeying the word of the Lord, the idea of not turning from God's way, it's picked up in a very key moment in Israel's history. In fact, to this very day, it's one of the most important moments in all of the history of Israel through the ages. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says this. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Here it is again. Be careful. Be careful to do what? Be careful to obey. Obey what? All the law. You get that? So we've heard it three times today. Give careful thought, or be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses, or that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. And then he gives the why again. That you may be successful wherever you go. Now understand the background here. What has just happened in recent history in Israel? Well, God heard the cry of the Hebrew people after being bound in slavery in Egypt for generations. And God sent them Moses to deliver them, didn't he? So now they're being delivered from bondage. They have found their freedom. Big problem arose. God was able to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. He just couldn't get Egypt out of the children of Israel. So they started craving for the things that they had when they were in bondage. They started wanting the stuff that God delivered them from, or part of the tasty things that was a part of their bondage, right? The pleasurable things, you know, like onions. That's what it says, right? Oh, if we just had onions like we had in Egypt. Now listen, some of the things that you've craved from your past might be just as foolish as onions, right? Anybody here like onions? Actually know a guy that could eat an onion, or does eat onions, like you and I would eat an apple. Whew. All right, that just does something to my insides. I don't know about you. I like onions, but not like eating them like an apple. But so God's delivered them, and because of their sin, God says, okay, this generation has to die off before the people of promise can be let go into the land of promise. And that's where we pick up here. Moses has died. So the generation has died. Moses has died. Joshua is the new leader of Israel. God's saying, Joshua, be strong. And be courageous, be very courageous. You're going to lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors. Be strong, be very courageous. But hey, Joshua, here's what you got to do. We just read it, verse 7. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Don't turn to the right from the law. Don't turn to the left from, don't do it. Here's what you want to be successful. This is what you got to do to go into the land of promise. Hear me today, church. The next two statements I'm going to give you, you've got to get these. Get them into your head. Get them into your spirit. You see, God provided the deliverance and the path. But you and I have to provide the determination and the steps. God provided the deliverance, didn't he? And he provided the path. But you and I have to provide the determination to take the steps to walk the path that he has provided for us. And here's the second thing. Hear me today. God will always provide the deliverance and the path. But you always have to provide the determination and the steps. Here, got it a little backwards. Let me give you this now. See, God provided the deliverance to gain their freedom, didn't he? God provided the deliverance to gain their freedom. Now he's providing direction so he could preserve their freedom. You see the difference? God provided their deliverance for freedom, but now they have the law. They didn't have the law before, did they? So God was glad to provide all of this deliverance for the entire nation, the Hebrew people, the nation of Israel, but now with the deliverance comes the direction. I've given you deliverance. You found your freedom. You got what you asked for. Do you want to keep it? Here's how you do it. Here's the direction. So the deliverance to gain their freedom, now the direction to preserve their freedom. And as we've already stated, God will always provide the deliverance and the path, but you have to provide the determination and the steps. See, Jesus picked up on this concept in John chapter 8. Jesus picked up on this concept in John chapter 8 with the woman caught in adultery. You know, I've always wondered, you see pictures like this. This is the woman caught in adultery. Jesus knelt down before her. I've always wondered, where's the man? I mean, the last time I checked, right, for it to be adultery, there had to be at least one other person involved there, right? So where's the man? We don't know. And she's brought out from the scene. I mean, she was caught in the act, brought out from that situation. They knew Jesus was there, so they throw her at his feet. Because that's what Pharisees do. What's another name for Pharisee? A religious hypocrite, right? And they still have descendants in the church today, don't they? Right? We know that. No question about that. So here's Jesus. Here she is. And boy, the Pharisee, oh, we got him this time. He's not going to escape this one. Right? Because surely everybody knows, it's known in the law, if you're caught in adultery, you're going to get stoned to death. And so here they are, they got their stone in hands, maybe even an extra bag of stones, there's a pile of rocks someplace, and they are ready to start wailing away on this woman. And I love the part, who's ever heard of Mike Warnke? Yeah, that goes, that's like back in the dark ages, right? All right. No, I remember him too. All right, don't take that personally. I only ask that because I like the way he gives a description. He was a Christian comedian last week, right? Right? He was a Christian comedian, and I like the way he talks because Jesus says this. He says, anyone without sin, you can cast the first stone, right? And here's how Warnke puts it. He says, they dropped their rocks and split. Right? Because they all knew, I mean, what Scripture's clear, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? So they dropped their rocks and split. And you know, Jesus is down and, you know, he writes something in the dirt. I think, anybody else want to know what he wrote? I just want to know. doesn't mean it's not going to change anything. I think about year 15,987 in heaven, because we're going to be there for all eternity, right? I'm just going to say, hey, Jesus. And he's going to be like, no, I'm Jesus. You come to me, right? Say, can you just tell me, what did you write that day when the woman caught in adultery? What'd you write in the dirt? And he's going to say, don't worry about it. You thought I was about to tell you, didn't you? Well, you know what? If he whispers that secret in my ear sometime, I'll think about letting you know what it was. We'll see about that, right? But then he asks her a question. Hey, where are your accusers? Where are those who would condemn you? And probably for the first time in that whole scene, she lifted her head. She looks around, and the people are all gone. She looks a little lower. All that's left are the stones that they had in their hands ready to stone her with. And they're gone. Then he says these beautiful words. Neither do I condemn you. But then he adds, don't do it again. Stop it. So he provided the deliverance and then the direction. I've delivered you. I have freed you in this moment, but don't do it again. Stop it. What's he say? Go and sin no more. That's a pretty clear directive, isn't it? Glad to provide the deliverance, but if you want to preserve and keep the deliverance, now you have to determine to walk in the direction. He didn't condemn her. He did not, but he also gave clear instruction. Stop this sin. Go and sin no more. Listen, Jesus gave this woman much grace and goodness. But she was not to abuse that grace. Don't abuse the grace I've given you. Have you read the book of Romans? How about this? Romans chapter 2, verse 4. What is grace designed to do? It says grace is designed to lead us to repentance. See, we've got a wrong understanding of the grace of God. Oh, God is just so gracious, and he's this lovey, fluffy, dovey father. And anytime I go to him and my sin, I can just keep a vicious cycle of sin going, sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness. Where have you read that? You will not find that cycle available to you in his covenant as a covenant person. God's grace is designed to lead you to repentance. Repentance will lead you to his presence. His presence will lead you to his holiness. You don't sin in holiness. God's always glad to provide the deliverance. But then he's going to provide the direction because he doesn't want you to lose your deliverance. God will always provide the path to sustain his freedom, but you have to provide the steps to walk that path. So whether it was last week or 2 weeks ago when Franklin was here, or at some point in your life and you found newfound freedom, okay, so you've been redeemed and freed. Now what? What are you going to do? So now through Christ, you have a close relationship with your heavenly Father. Now what? Did you know that you need the Father for all of the steps of life and spiritual growth? There's this mentality, it's unspoken, well, we need Jesus to save us, and then it's it. It's now what? No, no, you need him through every season, every phase of your spiritual maturation, of your discipleship, of your growth. Can I tell you that I need him just as much, if not more, today than when I first received Christ into my life as my Savior 30-some years ago, August 11th, 1979? I need him just as much because I'm in a different season. I'm in a different phase of life. I face different temptations, different circumstances, different this, different that. I need him today. Just as much as ever. You see, What Israel did not recognize is they needed God just as much going into the promise as they did coming out of bondage. You got that? Israel needed God just as much going into the promise as they did coming out of bondage, but they lost that recognition, didn't they? They cried out to God for 400 years, God, deliver us. And now they're delivered. And what did it say? That after Joshua died, the generation after, they forgot God. They didn't know him. So what did that do? It started the whole cycle all over again. See, 400 and some years earlier, it was slavery to the Egyptians. Now it's the Babylonians. Now it was the Assyrians. Now it was the Persians. Why? Because they didn't follow the direction of deliverance. Well, they enjoyed their deliverance for a season, but they lost it because they didn't follow the direction that would preserve it. You see, they forgot. They needed God just as much going into the promise as they did coming out of bondage, and so do we. We do too. We should not turn to the right. We should not turn to the left. We should never turn from what God has lined out for us in His Word. You want to keep your deliverance? You want to maintain it? You want to sustain it right here? You want to grow in a relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ? Right here, lined out in His Word. This is still the covenant. See, that's the thing with truth. It never changes. Never changes. You need God's Word. What's Psalm 119:105 say? What's God's Word? It's a lamp into our feet. It's a light into our path. But we got a lot of Christians today, they've turned the light off. They can't see where they're going. They're stumbling in darkness. When God says, here's the light, walk in it. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Why are we, as a church body, reading through the Word of God again this year? To get you into the Word, get the Word into you, so it'll light the way for you. And you don't have to stumble, but you can stay steadfast. And if you're looking here, you don't have time to be looking all over the place. Well, see, the Word becomes your blinders to keep you from being distracted from all of that stuff. All right, you don't want to go to the left and the right because you read over and over again where the left and the right lead to. It's not good. But then you also learn over and over again, you're reminded where the straight path leads to. Good place. Where you want to be. So how strong is your determination today? His deliverance is strong, but is your determination to walk in the path of that deliverance just as strong? I grew up on this song in church. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Oh, you sound so good. Let's sing the next verse. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Are you redeemed today? Have you been delivered? Are you free? Do you want to lose it? Or do you want to grow in it? Or maybe you're here today, you've never discovered this freedom. You've never accepted the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came to earth and died for you. that you could spend eternity with him. And he rose again on the third day. We're going to celebrate that in 2 weeks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you were once delivered and free, but you've walked away. Before you leave today, I'm going to ask you to come this way. I want to spend some time talking to you and pray with you. We had someone in the first service. Why not you? But here's what I'm going to do. It's 12:30. I know they're going to be wrapping it up downstairs. You know, there comes a time in your life you got to take a stand for Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you all over this sanctuary right now. If you're going to make this declaration to God, I've been delivered, I'm redeemed, and I want to keep in this deliverance. I'm going to follow the direction that he's lined out for me. Come on, who will stand in the house of the Lord a declaration today? I'm determined. I'm going to walk in his way. Come on, anyone? No one? You're going to stand. Right now, it's just a testament. I'm standing in the way of the Lord. I'm going to walk this way until Jesus comes. I will not turn to the left. I will not turn to the right. I'm standing on the truths of God. That's another one. I'm standing on the promise. Okay, we won't go there. All right? Because I don't remember the rest of the words. but by standing, you're making a declaration today. I'm not going to turn. I'm not going to lose my deliverance. I'm not going to lose my freedom. I'm not going to risk my relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus. So here's the benediction today. You can either walk this way to talk with me and let me pray with you, or you can consider yourselves dismissed as we sing one more time. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. God bless you. You can come and talk to me. Find a place here to pray. Altars are always open. Have an awesome week. Find yourself right back here next Sunday.